Grace to you all and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to make this kind of a tradition. I'm going to try it again. Matthew helped me with my microphone so I don't break it like I did last service. But last year, in the spirit of the rally cap that Pastor Rudd so impressed upon me, we decided to do rally stoles for the sermon for Rally Sundays. We pop these on backwards. If you have anything you'd like to put on upside down or backwards, you can feel free. A tie, perhaps, or a pair of spectacles. The pastors sometimes do it with me. I'm not going to look. I don't want to put any pressure on them. Thank you, Becca. You're very nice. A sweater vest you could turn around. We're not really rallying this year. Last year felt like a rally. Last year felt like a comeback. This feels a little bit like a victory march headed into the fall. I would never say this to their faces, but I am so proud of the Cathedral Choir and so grateful for what they bring. They are an absolute blessing to this church. And I'll tell you one thing. Somebody, a high school kid, walked in, saw what was happening, ran and put on a robe just before the service. So that's how this is going to work for all of us. It's going to be a great year, a joining year. All right, but first, I want you all to imagine something with me for a moment. Imagine walking into this big room one Sunday morning and finding no one else. Rows and rows of empty chairs. Dr. Berger might still be at the organ bench, but there would be no great crowd of voices to swell up around yours on a familiar hymn. Kristen might still be down on the Sunday school hallway, but we won't hear that stampede of little feet going down the stairs. I'll still be up here preaching, but there will be no one beside you to stand and applaud tearfully at the end of the sermon. You'd still hear the word of God, the gospel, but I think it would ring a little hollow as it echoed around this vast empty space. You'll hear the promise of life, but could you feel it in that deathly silence? A long, long time ago, there was a man named Abram, and God loved him, and God made promises to him. I will make your offspring as numerous as the grains of sand that cover the face of the earth, said God. And Abram listened and followed God. And in return, nothing. Nothing happened. No kids, no blessing, nada. For 10 long years, Abram waited. And when he was in his mid-80s, God spoke to him again and said, "Hey, Abram, you're my boy. You know that?" And Abram answered, "So what? Who cares? What good has it done me? You promised me children, but I have none. And now Sarah and I are way past our childbearing years. So thanks, but no thanks." Abram had heard the promise, but he hadn't seen it fulfilled. He hadn't experienced it. In fact, I'd say in our story this morning, he no longer believed it. No longer believed God's promise that he would have children of his own. That promise to someone 85, 86, that sounds silly, preposterous, impossible. And I wonder how often God's promises to you have sounded like that. And when they do, does that make you a bad Christian? Unworthy of those promises you received in baptism? Unrighteous? Not at all. Look at this story. Look at where Abram is directing his disbelief. To God. He's still talking to God. He trusted God with his doubt and his anger and his confusion and his sadness. And that, I think, is the true nature of faith. Not merely right belief in some claim or proposition or even promise, but an ongoing, trusting relationship with the promiser. There is room within a faithful relationship with God for both joy and sorrow, patience and impatience, certainty and yes, even doubt. But what I really care about is this next part. What does God do with a doubter? What does God do with doubting Abram? God takes Abram out into the darkness, accompanies him into the dark night of the soul, a place many of you will have ventured and all of us will see at some point. And there, in the midst of that deep gloom, God shows Abram the stars, the countless points of light the darkness can never overcome, and God offers them as a visible reminder of his promise. Your offspring will be as these stars in the heavens, beyond counting. And Abram beheld that glittering night sky, and he was strengthened and encouraged by God's promise again, and that was counted to him as righteousness. And then, guess what happened? Still nothing. Nothing happened. For 15 more years, nothing happened. Abram is 100 now. For all those years, Abram and Sarah had to get by on trust and promises alone, no kids, no fulfillment. How many times over those next 15 years do you imagine they faltered, fell back into disbelief, and then took each other by the hand, stepped out of their tent into the night to once again look up at the stars and be reminded? And how often did that sight reassure them? Well, guess what? I'm looking at a pretty reassuring sight right now, and I wish each of you could take a turn to stand up here and look out from my point of view. Because when you came in this morning, the church was not, in fact, empty. You have not been singing all by your lonesome. You have not missed the joyous sound of children who, in the eternal words of Whitney Houston, are indeed our future. You are the stars. No, that's not quite right, actually. Because you are not only visible reminders of the promise God made to Abram, you are proof that the promise was kept. You are the fulfillment of the promise. You are the countless offspring that have made Abram's family of faith into a great nation that transcends national boundaries. We don't just rally this Sunday, we rally together. Because when you are here together, church is better. It's not just that it's more fun, which it absolutely is. It's that your presence is not only good for you, it's not just that you get something out of being here, it's that your presence serves all your neighbors gathered together in this room right now. You are a part of something here. It matters when you're here, more than you could know. Just by walking through the doors today, you've done something profound and mysterious that I don't even fully understand. No one could. You don't know whose day you've changed simply by being here. And it could be a total stranger, by the way. But because you prayed out loud when the rest of us prayed, because you added your voice to the chorus when we sang, because you laughed at all the right times in the sermon and one of the wrong times, because you smiled at someone on the way in, because of who knows, you embodied the love and promise of God. So this year, once again, we rally together. And you will make each other's days better. And you will make each other's lives better. And most importantly, you will make each other's faith stronger. Thanks be to God. Amen.
When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how best to pray, Jesus offered what we now call the Lord's Prayer. I invite you to pray these words with me in faith and confidence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now as we depart worship for service in God's world, we ask God to grant us faith and courage sufficient to the challenges of the day. Let us pray together. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.